Today's January 25th. We're going to finish the SALT physical book, and the lesson is entitled The Physical U-Turn. It's a lesson on repentance. And if you watch the DVDs that VCO has made, this is actually one of the ones that I get to teach on DVD. And it's because repentance has been a constant necessity and pattern in my life. I tend to find myself going the wrong way and turn in repentance. It'd be nice at the end of my life that they'd write on my headstone, you know, that it was a preacher of righteousness, but probably the odds are, because I make so many mistakes, it would probably be repentance would be the epitaph of my life. I consistently find myself turning towards the Lord. So maybe I'd be more like John the Baptist and be a preacher of repentance. But that is a constant need in our lives. Here's our key verse. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Today, I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now, I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. So there is a choice in our lives that we can make to physically live lives that are blessed or cursed, that experience physical life or death. And so as we look at this issue, I'm going to ask you to draw a diagram on the back of your bulletin that's going to have two big arrows. The first one I want you to draw is a big fat arrow that we can write words on, but I want the point of the arrow to be going downward on the first one. And as we look at the physical area of life, I want to ask you a question. Do you know of choices in your life that you're involved in that are not physically healthy for you? Are there some things in your life that you do that you know are not physically healthy? Now, in this arrow, right at the top, write the word easy, because it starts out easy to make these choices. It's easy to overeat. Last night I was at Blue Goose Run, and their buffet was the cheapest thing. So I said, well, I'll do the buffet, which one pass through the salad bar and one pass through the buffet would normally be adequate. But since there were so many choices, I decided to take two. But I didn't really need to take two. It's really easy for me to eat more than I need. And it's really easy on these cold days to say, oh, I don't think I'll go for a walk outside today. It's a little cold. It's easy for me to not eat right, and it's easy for me to not exercise. How many of you have noticed that? It's easier to turn on the television than it is to get down on the floor and do setups. You notice that before? I folded down the treadmill a couple weeks ago and walked on it once. Now, I didn't walk very far and I didn't walk very fast, but I did get on there and walk, and I thought, well, I'll start that pattern. Well, then one of the women that I live with was vacuuming, and she folded the treadmill up to sweep under it. So the next time I went in there to walk, I just walked right on by it. Well, guess I'm done with that. It's folded up. Now, it would have been easy to unfold it, but it was easier to just walk past it. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But what happens when you do that, it eventually gets hard. J-R-D. It gets hard because the more you overeat, the bigger and fatter you get. The less you exercise, the weaker you get. There is a practical reality that the more you do, the more you can do, right? You know that. The more you exercise, the stronger you get, and the more you can do. The less you exercise, the less you healthy. Now, I'm not a very good speller, so when I write unhealthy, I write unheal thyself. Unhealthy. If I make unhealthy choices, I unheal thyself. I can actually unheal myself by making unhealthy choices. Now, there is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to death, and unhealthy choices lead to death. Now, One of the illustrations of unhealthy choices is in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and here's what it says in Genesis chapter 3. The woman was convinced that the fruit looked so fresh, so delicious, that it would make her so wise that she ate some of the fruit. She gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it too. From that moment, their eyes were open, and suddenly they felt shame and nakedness. There is a way that seems right to men, but that way leads to death. And what we're talking about in Genesis is a physical eating of some fruit. Now, the exciting thing is, that's the first book in the Bible. If you read the last book of the Bible in Revelations 22, when we see the new heaven and the new earth, in that new heaven and that new earth, we eat from the tree of life and receive health. So there is a real practical sense that what we do as far as eating makes a significant difference in our life. So we can make unhealthy choices. And basically the reason that I do that is right at the top of your arrow, write the word mine. I believe that this body is mine and I can do anything I want to with it. And because of that, I will make choices that will lead to death. Write death at the bottom of your arrow. That way of overeating, not exercising, abusing drugs, alcohol, caffeine, those types of things will make you sicker. How many of you have noticed some of the new commercials that they have broadcast about smoking? Have you seen some of those? Julie actually rented a movie the other day, and at the beginning of the movie where they normally have just advertisements for another movie, there was a commercial about not smoking. You know, it has all these glamorous people, and then at the end of it fades to this black guy who's got oxygen and he's dying from lung cancer from smoking. So there are things that we can do that seem fun and easy, but they lead us to death. Now then, on the other side of your diagram, I want you to draw another arrow that aims upward. So draw another diagram on the other side that points its way upward. And at the bottom of that diagram, write the word gods. When I believe that this earth suit, this body that I live in, belongs to God, then what happens more often is I make heal thyself healthy choices. When I believe this body of mine belongs to God, I make healthy choices. Now the problem is, this one's going down and that one's going up, so we need the process of repentance to get from one to the other. In Psalms 119 it says, I considered my ways and I turned my feet unto God's testimonies. And I believe what happened in King David's life, because he was an infantryman like me, he did an about face. He just turned and went the other way. There is a military command where you can say about face, and the whole unit, the next time your left foot hits the ground, you pivot and you turn the other direction. So what we need to do is turn our lives around. And there's a three-step process that the Bible draws. And the first one is that we consider the way we're going. We consider what's going on in our life. We actually stop and consider what things we're doing in our life that aren't physically healthy. The next thing that we do, the second step, is we confess. We confess the sin, the wrong choices that we're making. And the Bible encourages us to confess our sins one to another. And it's healthy, as you're trying to make this turn, that you find somebody in your life that you trust and will hold you accountable and will help you as you do this. Because otherwise, the general tendency is to just go back to your old ways. But if you have somebody in your life to help you with that, it makes a big difference. And then the last step is change. See, we always want to get to that point where we change our behavior, but without considering and confessing the sin, the probability of extended change is not as powerful and possible. There are periods of life that I have had not that long ago where I would make January goals to walk 1,000 miles in that year and accomplish them. which really isn't hard. You just walk 3 miles a day every day, and you're walking 1,000 miles in a year. But my heart doctor said it'd be really healthy, Wilmer, if every day you would walk this period of time or this distance. And I live at a place where there's hills, so I can walk up and down hills, and the fresh air and the exercise is good for me. Now, there are also periods of time in my life where I get out of that pattern. So I have to consider that, confess my sin, and change the way I do that. I told Julie after we got home from dinner last night, I said I would have been better off to just order an entree off of the menu and bring something home to put in the refrigerator, a take-home bag, than go to the buffet bar that many times. So, and oftentimes what happens is when we go out, we'll just share an entree, which makes it really nice because then you can have the opportunity to share a dessert too. But if I eat a whole meal all by myself, I'm not hungry enough to share a dessert. But if I share the meal, then I can share a dessert, and it's a win-win gig. So there are opportunities for us to change the way we live. But my plan is that when I get back from this stem cell infusion, to initiate a significant exercise program in the spring and hold that pattern constant. Now, the probabilities are that I'll get off the wagon and I'll need to repent and get back on it. Now, when you start that process, it starts down here. It's hard. It's hard to get started at that. Now, I don't mean the first day that you exercise is it. Second day is not. What's hard is staying faithful with it, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that the first couple days you exercise, it feels real easy, but then by the time you're in it 10 days, that all of a sudden you're stiff and sore and things hurt that you didn't realize you even had, and it's easy to stop. But if you stay with it, eventually it becomes easy and you get stronger and you can experience more with less difficult, and that leads to life rather than death. So in this process of repentance, now, you can use this process of repentance in any area of life, but what we're talking about is in the physical area of life. And what I'd like you to consider is these questions. What does God want me to change in the area of my eating? What does God want me to change in the area of eating? I live with people who are more interested in eating healthy than I am. And three of the major people in my life that I work with and consider to be spiritual people and relate with are reading this book on fasting. And it's impacting their life. And they're beginning to realize that even though they've been in church all of their life, they never really came to the realization of how much fasting should be a part of our life, the same way as prayer, Bible study, worship, kindness. That pattern of life should be or could be a part of our whole life. Now, it's hard at first to get into that pattern, but it becomes really easy, and then you enjoy this. So what areas of life in your eating would God like you to change? What areas would God want me to change in my life as far as exercise? Is He calling you? It's not just the fad of January, and it's time to get back in shape. You know, it's not a major event coming up that you want to get slim and trim for, you know. You know, the award shows are coming, so all the actors and actresses are on their crash diet, so they look hot for that event. You know, it's not that. It's what is God calling you to do an exercise? What's God asking you to change in your sleeping patterns? Is He asking you to sleep less or more? Is He asking you to set your alarm for a certain period of time to get up every day at the same time and develop a pattern? Or is He calling you to go to bed earlier at night? What is He calling you to do? And last, in the area of chemicals, what does God want you to change in your area of your chemical dependency? Might be smoking, might be alcohol, might be caffeine. There are all kinds of things that we become addicted to and we become dependent on it. So what are these areas is God calling you to do?